Good evening, and welcome to night two of our novena to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death, amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Tonight's topic for this novena is Our Lady as Refuge of Sinners. I'm going to start with a verse. It's an Alleluia verse from the votive mass of Holy Mary, Queen and Mother of Mercy. Hail, Mother of the Lord, Queen of Mercy, you are comfort for the world and hope for the downcast. Refuge of Sinners is an ancient title of Our Lady and closely associated with other titles such as Help of Christians, Mother of Mercy, Mother of Hope, and Comforter or Consoler of the Afflicted, and rightly so because Our Lady is all of these. Interestingly, the title Refuge of Sinners and the idea of Our Lady being a powerful intercessor for their conversion has also always been linked in a particular way to devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. However, for our talk tonight, I wish only to dive deeper into the title, Refuge of Sinners, and what it means. How is Our Lady a refuge, and what does this mean for us? In speaking of this topic at dinner a few nights ago, a sister shared with us her image of Refuge of Sinners, which is quite humorous. She said, my image is running from my older siblings to my mother and being saved. Many of us can relate to this image, whether we were the older sibling in hot pursuit who knew we had lost, or the younger sibling running for safety. And while this image only skims the surface of what Our Lady, Refuge of Sinners, means, it does at least convey a couple of truths. One, that Our Lady as our mother is truly a place of safety for us. And secondly, that Our Lady will not refuse to receive us, even when we are to blame for the hot anger of older siblings, or perhaps of God himself. But we'll return to this idea later. First, I want to address the idea of Our Lady as a refuge. A refuge is a place where we can go when we're up against something bigger than ourselves, a place of safety, a stronghold of defense when things are out of our control. In ancient times in Israel, there were cities of refuge where one could flee from dangers of invading armies or find safety if you're at odds with the king. However, most often, scripture speaks of God himself as a place of refuge for his people. This is just a sampling of imagery found in the Psalms. Psalm 91. You who dwell in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, say to the Lord, my refuge and fortress, my God in whom I trust. In Psalm 25, I wait for you, O Lord. I lift up my soul to my God. In you I trust. Do not let me be disgraced. Good and upright is the Lord who shows sinners the way. For the sake of your name, Lord, pardon my guilt, though it is great. Look upon me, have pity on me, for I am alone and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart. Bring me out of my distress. Preserve my life and rescue me, for I trust in you. In Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom do I fear? The Lord is my life's refuge. Of whom am I afraid? One thing I ask of the Lord, this I seek, to dwell in the Lord's house all the days of my life. Do not repel your servant in anger. You are my help. Do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, God, my Savior. Even if father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me in. I want to note two things here from these selections of the Psalms. The psalmist trusts God and seeks him as a place of refuge from his enemies, also a place of refuge or safety from traps, afflictions, and troubles of the heart. I want to note, secondly, the connection between seeking God as a refuge and seeking his forgiveness for sin. and the desire for eternal life. So look at this psalm again. Psalm 25, pardon my guilt, though it is great. Preserve my life and rescue me. This I seek, to dwell in the Lord's house all the days of my life. A cry for salvation from our sinfulness and the snares of the devil is this cry to God for refuge. Sin and its consequences, even the consequences of other sins, cause us to cry out to God for mercy, for forgiveness, and with the hope of attaining true life, eternal life with God as he himself has promised. God wants to be our refuge from sin and its consequences. He wants to shower us with his mercy. But so often we doubt, we pull back, we become afraid. Sometimes we hide from God because we sin, and we're afraid that we will be met by God with condemnation. And if not with condemnation, then at least with disapproval or disappointment. The enemy, the devil, can trip us up in two ways in this regard, either by blinding us to our sins so that we fail to seek God's mercy, or secondly, by making us doubt that God's mercy is attainable, to think that if we turn to God, we'll be met with those things mentioned, with condemnation, disapproval, or disappointment, to lose hope in overcoming sin, to lose hope in even attaining salvation. But this is precisely where Our Lady comes in. When all seems hopeless, when we feel as if we cannot approach God, our Lord gives us a mother to whom we can turn. He gave us to her intentionally, as the Father willed, at the foot of the cross, where he gave Mary as a mother to the beloved disciple and by extension to all of us. This was willed by the Father and one of the last tasks Christ accomplished before expiring on the cross. John's Gospel tells us after this, aware that everything was finished. This is a beautiful gift from God to his children, and if Our Lady is the refuge of sinners for us, it is only because God is our refuge first. This gift to us is great and illustrates the mercy of God. And we see the greatness of the gift really in two ways. First, the fact that God places Mary in front of us as our mother, as mother of the church, as Sister Mary Ann spoke of last night. With all its sentiments and the natural appeal of an earthly mother. If we think of our own mothers and we take all their human gifts and virtues, we can find these in Our Lady in a perfect way. This natural appeal to us on the part of his mother is also a mercy of the Father. How often our human hearts are inclined to run from the wrath or anger of our dad and seek refuge in our mom, or to go to mom first when we have a request and we know she's going to be more successful in asking dad than we would be. But God knows the human heart, and he knows it perfectly. And so he gives us a mother, a heavenly mother to whom we can turn. And on her part, Our Lady always takes us straight back to God. The second point, the second reason why we see the greatness of this gift is that God uses Mary to reveal his own tender love for us sinners in a unique way. Our Lady is a sign or an icon of God's tender love for his people. In Mulieris Dignitatem, John Paul II's apostolic letter on the dignity and vocation of women, he speaks of how God, though rightly referred to as and addressed as Father, is the source of all love, the love that we see expressed in a human way, both by fathers and by mothers. Both types of love teach us something about the way that God loves us. At times, Scripture expresses God's tender love for his children like the love of a mother. An example is Isaiah 49. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, my Lord has forgotten me. And the Lord replies, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. This passage is one example of many. When we look at Our Lady, we see a feminine human heart, the heart of a mother, but brought to its glory of perfection by the fullness of grace and her cooperation with that grace. With a heart completely transformed by grace, she of all mere human persons has a heart most like God's. In her, then, we find the most beautiful maternal expression of God's own tender love for his people. She shows us in a unique way what God's love is like. That is why in the East, Our Lady is often referred to as an icon or a sign. She is like pure glass, which allows God's love to shine forth through her to us. And we add to this the natural appeal Our Lady has to us as a mother. And again, we can see what a true gift from God this woman, Our Lady, is for us. For all the times we doubt God's mercy, we lose hope, we grow discouraged by our sins or their effects, or by the sufferings in life, the Lord places before us a mother to guide, console, and encourage us. Her maternal heart will always lead us back to his. And this is why Our Lady desires to be our refuge, the refuge of all sinners. When we take refuge in Our Lady, she teaches us the truth about God, sin, and ourselves. We already mentioned how Our Lady, in a singular way, illustrates the tender love of God and his mercy. No one is excluded from the love of God and his mercy and his forgiveness. In Mary's motherly affection, she receives all sinners, those who have turned away from sin, those who want to turn from sin but are stuck in it, and all those whom we entrust to her maternal care. Jesus Christ died for all. This mother who stood at the foot of the cross and was herself pierced, who for 3 hours stood offering the Son to the Father on our behalf, the behalf of all sinners, she wills our salvation. She wills that all receive the saving merits of her Son. In The Glories of Mary, a book by St. Alphonsus Liguori, he points out that a mother loves most those for whom she suffers the most. And are we not all Our Lady's children? And has she not suffered for each of us immensely? She is fully aware of the price of our salvation, and she desires it for us and works for it, and she will not cease to do so. She offers comfort and encouragement to the contrite. She helps those stuck in sin to repent, interceding on their behalf in order to gain for them the grace of repentance and contrition. St. Alphonsus gives us another image. He says, if there were two sons at odds with one another, would the mother not do everything in her power to see them reconciled? Mary is mother of both Christ and the church, the mother of both the judge and the mother of the criminal. Therefore, her desire to reconcile us to her Son is even greater. I want to say a word here about the great love Our Lady has for us and the power of her intercession. These two images I also take from St. Alphonsus Liguori. The love of Our Lady for us sinners is so great that for our salvation she would have crucified Christ herself had it been the Father's will. Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son at the word of the Father. And was not Our Lady's faith even greater than that of Abraham? Was not the sacrifice of her innocent son the way to salvation for all the rest of her sinful children? And speaking of the compassionate love of a mother, St. Alphonsus continues, he uses the Canaanite woman as an analogy. If you recall from the Gospels, the Canaanite woman, a Gentile, approaches Jesus and pleads for him to heal her daughter who is possessed. She says to Jesus, "Have mercy or pity on me," and then asks him to heal her daughter. St. Alphonsus points out that the mother pleads for Jesus to have mercy, not on her daughter, but upon herself. For all mothers take on their children's sufferings as their own. When we fly to Mary, our good mother and our refuge, in her love for us, she takes on our own sufferings and pleads with Christ, "Have mercy on me." This woman, this perfect disciple, the mother of the Son, the one with a heart most like our Lord's, who endured with him to the bitter end, is it even possible for the Lord to refuse this request? Therefore, we can have great confidence in the power of this refuge of sinners, both in her great love for us and in her effective intercession for us and for all sinners. But don't be fooled. Our Lady is a tender mother, but she's tough. Her Immaculate Heart receives us in our weakness and will help us to gain the graces we need for repentance and to persevere in grace, but she will tolerate no insincerity. This refuge of sinners is no den of thieves. She will help to convict us of God's mercy, but she will also ask the Holy Spirit to help convict us of sin. And this is actually good for us. Remember, as we said before, the devil can trip us up in two ways, not only by doubting in God's mercy, but also by blinding us to sin. When we receive this gift and take refuge in Our Lady, she helps us to see sin in ourselves as we truly are. But this is not without hope. For Our Lady sees us as God sees, and she sees us with the eyes of a mother. A mother, in a particular way, knows who you are and holds the hope of all that you can be. Though sinful and broken, Our Lady looks at us with compassion, calls us higher, and holds in her heart the hope of a bright future, one of grace and of eternal joy, even when we cannot hold on to this hope ourselves. From the very birth of the Church, we see Our Lady giving refuge to poor sinners and interceding on their behalf. She notices our needs before we even ask, as at Cana, and makes our needs known to her Son. At the foot of the cross, she pleads for us, offering her Son to the Father on our behalf. In the upper room, she is there, interceding for the newborn Church at Pentecost, and loving each and every sinner in that room. I don't think we often take time to consider who is actually in the room. Our Lady does not limit her love simply to the faithful, John and the women who did not abandon our Lord at the foot of the cross, but she remains there with all of them. She is a refuge not just for saints, but for sinners. She offers her love to them, prays with and for them, and I presume offers them the consolation, the same consolation they will receive soon in the descent of the Holy Spirit. Even now, as then, Mary offers us the refuge of her heart, as she has through the centuries. She reminded Juan Diego, "Am I not your mother?" And she asked Lucia at Fatima, "Are you suffering much? Take courage. My Immaculate Heart will be your refuge and your way to God." She says the same thing to us now, inviting us into her motherly care. This refuge of sinners is a gift from God, which I think would be foolish on our part to refuse. So let us fly to her for comfort, for consolation, conviction, for her powerful intercession when we have fallen, when we are tempted, persecuted, discouraged, or confused. Let us strive also to be like her, to flee from sin, and to be a refuge for others, loving with a divine love, forgiving, being truthful about sin, and showing mercy. Though we may never have noticed, from childhood we have been formed by our various prayers to approach Mary as we are, as sinners. In the Hail Mary, we ask her to pray for us sinners. In the Hail Holy Queen, we address ourselves as the poor banished children of Eve. And in the Memorare, we'll fly to her now with this prayer as we place ourselves in the refuge of her heart. Remember, most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of virgins, my mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Cookies await you in the dining room.